Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I'm very excited to be talking today all about Instagram tactics. I do want to take this chance to tell you about a group coaching opportunity I will be offering. This week, I will be launching an 8-week in-depth live Pinterest training, and I'd love for you to be there. If you have any interest in Pinterest and visual marketing, you need to check this out. So head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/training. That's manlypinteresttips.com/training. I'm very excited to have Jen Herman with me on today's show. If you don't know who Jen is, she is a social media strategist and the forefront blogger on Instagram marketing. She has won Social Media Examiner's Top 10 Social Media Blog Award in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Her blog, Jen's Trend, shares topics focused on understanding trends in social media management and provides tips, resources, and training for small to medium-sized businesses that need to structure their social media strategies. She is the author of The Ultimate Beginner's Guide to Instagram and Stop Guessing, Your Step-by-Step Guide to Creating a Social Media Strategy. Now, this interview that I did with Jen was a live show where the audience was able to interact with myself, guests, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us where you can ask your own questions during the show. Now, Jen is my go-to person when it comes to all things Instagram, and I wanted to pick her brain about the new algorithm news that they just recently announced for Instagram. She graciously agreed to record this episode, even though she had a long day at work and a baby girl that just wanted to play with mama. Now, Jen is very passionate about Instagram, and it shows, so let's jump right into my conversation with Jen Herman. Jen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
So as we're going along, if you guys have any questions, make sure you just type in /Q in the stream and we'll try to get to you to them live during the show today. Okay, Jen, just in case there are some people who do not know who you are, give us kind of a little quick recap of your story and how you got to be such a big authority on Instagram, because it really hasn't been around that long.
No, and I was a late adopter. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a new mom, and you're probably going to hear her chiming in. This is our mommy and me time, and I've had to abandon her to do this podcast. So she's going to get quite known that she's not happy about this. So if you hear her, that's my little baby girl. You can check her out on Instagram at Jen's_trends. I post about her every now and then. But yeah, I was a late adopter to Instagram. All my friends were on it. Everyone was using it. I had my blog already. I started Jen'sTrends.com about 3 years ago. And when I had started it, it was more for kind of entry level small business owners trying to figure out how to use social media, you know, very basic beginner level type things. And in the process, I realized, okay, if I'm going to keep writing about social media, I need to figure out this whole Instagram thing. So I jumped on the bandwagon and I fell in love with the platform. Absolutely loved it. I just thought it was so fun, so interactive, so reactionary. It was such a great platform for me. I like photography to start with, so it was kind of a good fit for me. But in the process, I was like, okay, you know, now that I know it as a user, how do I use it as a marketing tool? And there wasn't anything good out there. Everything was, you know, the top 5 tips to get more followers, right? Like more posts, comment more. I'm like, well, that doesn't tell me anything. So I was like, hey, I never wanted to shy away from a challenge. I've got a blog. No one else is writing about it. Why don't I start writing about it? So I am now the forefront blogger on Instagram marketing. I have written well over 100 blog posts dedicated exclusively to Instagram marketing. They are pretty much all how-to posts. I put in step-by-step tutorials and that sort of thing. So if you Google anything about Instagram, chances are you'll find me somewhere on that first page. And I've worked really hard to get there. And that's how I became the expert. I just worked really hard. I wrote all about it. I keep talking about it. And now that's who or people come to me for.
Yeah, and you're actually, we're both going to be speaking. You're going to be speaking on Instagram, and I'll be speaking on Pinterest at Social Media Marketing World coming up really quick.
3 weeks? Yeah,
3 weeks. We're going to be
I'm so excited.
Video. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I just finished ordering some stuff that I'm going to pass out there and there, so I'm excited too. So, but you are my go-to person for Instagram, but you know, here's the thing. Everybody, it seems like everyone says, okay, you got to be on Snapchat. You've got to do this. You got to be on Snapchat. Snapchat's hot. Everybody is where Snap's where it's at. So why should we be on Instagram instead of Snapchat?
Because Instagram's better. No, I'm just joking. I have no idea. I'm going to be the late adopter Snapchat. I'll be the person who gets up on Snapchat when everyone else is on whatever the next platform is. Right. Honestly, I mean, I'm all about like trying what works for your business.
That's good.
And I've been the first person to always say Instagram will work for any business, but it's not right for every business. So it has to be right for you. It has to be right for your audience. It is the most interactive, reactionary type platform. In terms of engagement levels, it crushes anything Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest in terms of interaction and engagement. So in that sense, it's a very powerful platform. Of course, it's owned by Facebook. So now that they have, you know, the ads platform out there and everything, it gives you that much more opportunity for reach and exposure and opportunities to grow your business. And of course, it's just, it's fun. It's photography. You don't get immersed in all the, you know, the link drops and all the, you know, resource sharing and things that you get lost in, you know, kind of junk type content. It's a gorgeous photo or a good video.
Right.
If you're following the right account. Some people do post crap, so let's put that out there. But we don't follow them, so it doesn't matter.
So when you talk about engagement, you're talking about people liking your posts, making comments and stuff like that. So I know for a fact, like when I post something, and I have a relatively small account, I think I have 1,000 followers, and but I see instantly, you know, all these people like it, and then I have people comment, and I'm even seeing, I guess, people go back to my profile and start clicking on old stuff too, because that will kind of resurface every once in a while, and comments will be made on that. So is that what you're talking about when you talk about engagement?
Yes, absolutely. If you're using the right hashtag strategy and you have the right audience, you're going to get those likes quickly. And like you said, you get people that come find you after the fact that go through your gallery and they're finding your content, looking at it because they're pulled in by the image or, you know, that sort of thing. And they read the message. But it's also worth pointing out that because you can't link drop on Instagram and you have to direct people through that link in your bio, it actually has almost a 0% bounce rate, which is something you cannot find on any other platform. So in that sense, not only is the engagement good on what you get, but the engagement that you drive to your website or your opt-in or whatever it is you're using in that link is the best quality traffic you can possibly get. So for that reason, too, it's really powerful.
Gotcha. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of sponsored posts now on Instagram. And you were on my show, like we were talking earlier, probably a year and a half ago or whatever. And they didn't even really have ads. They were starting to maybe roll out. So, and my thing is, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about them and they don't like them, but I've actually found some really good apps on Instagram that I didn't know about, and they were very, very handy. And so it really doesn't bother me. But so how can a business use Instagram ads in their strategy? I mean, I know that it now ties into the Facebook ads things. Have you seen a lot of your clients and a lot of your small businesses that you work with use ads effectively?
I have. I've run a couple myself. I've have some clients that are running them, people that I know that are running them. And yes, it is obviously, we're seeing more of it. Depending on who you are and how you use Instagram, you could be seeing an ad every 5 to 10 posts, which seems like a lot. But the key to it is if you're doing ads right, they don't look like ads. Mm. And that's where and I fall prey to it. Like I must like scroll, double tap. Right. And all of a sudden I double tap on something. I'm like, wait, what was that?
That was an ad.
Oh, that was an ad. And I actually have to stop myself and go back because it mixes in so seamlessly with my content that I'm seeing in my feed that I don't even realize it's an ad. And that's what people have to focus on is who is your target audience. Make sure that's who you're targeting when you run your ads and make sure that your content represents both your business well, that it's high quality. It's not some crappy photo. Right. It has to be really, really good and stand out. But you want it to represent what your audience is looking for. So don't just, you know, post something because it's a pretty sunset. You want it to still be related to your business in some powerful way.
I think that's a good point because, all the ones that, I've clicked on, and you're right, I've scrolled past, and I'm like, oh, that's an ad, oops.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, went back, and I was like, oh, that would be a handy app, I should try that out, or whatever. You know, some of the Quicken Loans stuff or whatever, I'm like, whatever, I don't need to see that. But, you know, some of the other ones I've really found. Now, that got me thinking when you said, you know, scroll, double tap. How important is that for you to do on other people's accounts? Because we talked about engagement before and how Instagram is such a great place to get engagement. But how important is you to go back and like other people's posts? Do people notice that, or what do you recommend?
Oh, absolutely. And especially as a brand. I mean, obviously for a big brand, it's hugely rewarding. I've tagged brands on Instagram when I'm either using their product or visiting a location or something like that. And trust me, I am looking for their response. Now, granted, I have a different reason for looking, but the average user, if they tag a brand, they're expecting you to respond. So in those situations, you absolutely want to. But even just as an engagement strategy, absolutely, people notice who is liking their content. Obviously, if they're getting like 300 likes in 4 minutes, they're probably going to not see your like in that wealth of notifications. But an average user is absolutely going to notice who is liking their content. And the more you can engage, the more they're likely to engage with you. No one wants to be, you know, in a one-sided relationship. Mm. We all want that reciprocity between, you know, who we're following. And I've always said, I go through and I like literally like double tap probably at least 70-80% of all the content in my feed. Okay. So I'm very active. I highly recommend it. But on that note, only follow people you actually care to see. Don't just follow people because they follow you. Don't follow anybody and everybody, because then you end up with a feed full of stuff you have no interest in or that's completely, you know, irrelevant. So follow people you like and then make sure you're engaging with them.
So when you're going through and doing, you know, because as people tag you, I know people will tag you or ask a question on one of your posts. Do you use any sort of tool to manage that? I mean, because unless you're going back and checking that, or always, you know, you may miss something on your notifications or whatever. Do you use anything to help manage those people who are tagging you or
I personally don't. Okay. I'm all about organic.
Right.
You know, I there's those people who love the tools and those people who don't. Who doesn't?
Gotcha.
And I know tools can make things a lot more functional. So if you do want to use tools, I swear by Hootsuite, I love them. They can put multiple things in your dashboard because you can actually have hashtags in your streams. You can have your notifications in your streams. You can have your feed. You can have other. You can have multiple accounts in there. So I swear by that. Instagram did just come out with an update this week. I think it was yesterday, where you can now get notifications on Instagram.com on the desktop. So if that's something where if you're a marketer and you have your, you know, obviously all your browsers open, you could have Instagram.com open and you could go in there and check your notifications probably much more regularly than checking your phone. So that would be something that would be a little bit, you know, more for marketers too.
Well, what I've been using, and I've used Econo Square has a thing that you can use to track stuff, but also for the Social Media Examiner account, I've been using Agora Pulse because they've had that for other stuff. But it's really handy to go in and say, oh, because I'll miss somebody who asks a question, and I always want to say thank you, or I want to say, you know, hey, thanks for what would you get out of that post if they make a comment or something like that. So it's very handy for me, at least, because there's so much that comes in. So very crazy. So that's good advice. Now you mentioned that you're big on hashtag strategy.
So first and foremost, absolutely you have to be using hashtags on Instagram. It is the kind of, you know, golden secret sauce, whatever you want to call it, in terms of getting new eyeballs on your account, getting new reach and getting your accounts or your content seen by new people. So absolutely use them. You want to use 10 to 15 hashtags per post. I know a lot of people have a panic attack when I say 10 to 15. They just think that's insane. But it's really not. And when you think about it from a strategic aspect, it's not too many. So I have three kind of, you know, topics or areas that you want to focus on.
Right.
One being the most popular hashtags. These are the ones that have, you know, a million posts or more associated with them. And when you start typing in the hashtag, you can actually see how many posts are associated with that. So if you start typing in hashtag social media, you're going to see millions, you know, of numbers associated with that. So you want to use, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 really popular hashtags. These are going to get you that instant reaction. Those are going to be the ones where all of a sudden, as soon as you hit share, you just start seeing a little likes pop up. Those are from those popular hashtags. Then you want to use your moderately popular hashtags. These are the ones that are anywhere in the hundreds of thousands of likes. These ones are going to last hours in the archive. The popular ones disappear in minutes. They don't last very long. So you don't want to worry about those long term. The moderately popular stay alive for a few hours. Then you want to look at your less popular and or your branded. So like I use hashtag learn from Jen, or I'll use things like, you know, Instagram marketing. That's a much less popular hashtag. Those ones last a lot longer. They live for days, if not weeks. And your branded content creates a gallery exclusively around your content. Now, the reason this whole strategy works is when I use those popular hashtags, it gets me really quick reaction right away. So all of a sudden, Instagram goes, hey, this post is kind of important. A lot of people are liking it. And then if I go and look at those less popular hashtags, my highly targeted niche specific hashtags, I am now a top post in almost every one of my targeted industry hashtags. So I want to use the popular ones to get the reaction, but I want to use my targeted niche ones to get the actual traffic. I want people to find me on those ones. And that's where it helps to be a top post, because you come up in those top nine whenever anybody goes and looks at that. And I've had my top posts stay up there for sometimes days, if not a week at a time.
Gotcha.
So if it works, it stays. That's how you really get the long-term reactions.
So let me see if I got this right. So for what I would want to do is I would like to want to put, if I had one on Pinterest, I would want to have hashtag Pinterest and then maybe break it down into Pinterest marketing and then bring it even further down to my hashtag, which is Manly Pinterest Tips. Would that kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, gotcha. Absolutely.
Okay.
And you want to mix other things like online marketing, social media marketing, SMM, like, you know, any of those kind of things. You want to find anything that is specific to your industry and niche. Look and see what your competitors are doing. Look and see what, you know, your followers are posting and what hashtags they're using. Because that's the thing, too. You want to make sure you're using the hashtags that they are looking for, not necessarily what you think people are actually looking for. So if people are looking for help on, you know, best restaurants in San Diego, you know, you don't want to just want to use hashtag restaurant. You want to use, you know, restaurant, you know, San Diego or San Diego foodie or things like that, that are going to be related to what people are looking for at that time.
So where do you go to do your like hashtag research? Do you just do it in like the desktop version of Instagram, or where is there
a place? The desktop or on my phone.
Okay.
Either one. I don't recommend, I mean, if you're really desperate, you can kind of do a Google search and kind of, you know, see, but you always end up with like the like for likes and like for follows and all the weird things that pop up. The easiest thing is if you go in on your phone and you start typing, it does kind of predictive text. If you start typing in a word, it kind of gives you everything associated with that word. Mm-hmm. And you can see how popular they are. So it helps sometimes to find things that you might not have thought of. If you start typing in beauty, you'll see things like beauty products, beauty pageant, you know, all the different things that could possibly be associated with that. And that allows you to kind of dig through and find some other content that you might not normally find.
Gotcha. So do you put, this is a question I know is kind of controversial, but do you put the hashtags in the comments or in the actual post? I've heard, I haven't heard a...
Every variation of the answer, I'm sure. So my advice is you want to absolutely, without question, put the popular ones in the caption.
Really?
This is a must. Because if you even delay 30 seconds to hit post and then go and copy paste and put your hashtags in the comment, and I guarantee you ain't nobody doing it faster than 30 seconds. And 30 seconds is even pretty fast. But in those 30 seconds, you could have lost out on a significant number of likes. So it's absolutely paramount, in my opinion, that you put the popular ones in the caption. You can go back and delete them later if you want to. Just get them in there for the first 10, 15, 20 minutes so you get that traction, and then go in and delete them if you want. Put the less popular ones, the moderately popular brand ones, you can put those in the comment if you don't want them to be spamaholic and have them in the caption.
Right.
But now that Instagram does the dot, dot, dot more, unless they open your caption, they're not going to see those hashtags anyways. So it kind of eliminates that, you know, issue that a lot of people had in the past. So I put all of mine in the caption. That's my practice. I recommend to clients that they kind of do a combination of comments and captions for whatever works for them.
Gotcha. So how many lines do you have before you have to hit the more button to see? I mean, is there a certain character count that you have before the more?
It's basically three lines.
Okay.
So depending on how your post is formatted, if you happen to have like two lines and then you've got like a return and you've dropped down,
right,
Instagram will cut it off at the end of that second line. It won't give you the third line.
Okay.
But if your content is like a four or five line paragraph, you basically get three lines until you see the dot, dot, dot more. So you want that kind of like first, I always say sentence, to be your you know, whether that's something that's going to stand out, your intriguing question. It doesn't have to be your call to action, but it has to be like that really good email subject title or that really good blog post title. It has to be what invites them in that they can't resist but to hit that dot, dot, dot more.
Gotcha. That's good advice. So Michael says, you know, Sprout Social analyzes and tells you your top 10 performing hashtags. That's really good to know. Thanks, Michael.
Yes.
And Spider Working says, people really get upset about this. Yes, I've had people say and ask me, why are you putting them? Because I tried them both ways, and I put them in the comments, and people are like, why are you doing that? It looks horrible. And then if I did it the other way, somebody goes, that looks terrible. Quit doing that. So you just can't win. So,
and that's like, it's something for everybody. You know, everyone's got an opinion on it. You know, some people swear by one way, some people swear by another, you know, some people don't care.
Right.
I mean, I don't care if I look at someone's account, if they have a bunch of hashtags, I don't care because I know why they're there. It's a lot more of the kind of casual users and people like that, that tend to, and see, and that's the thing too, is now that there's that dot, dot, dot more, now if you put your Instagram hashtags in a comment, the comment shows up in the feed. So now they're actually seeing them, where in the dot, dot, dot more, they wouldn't have seen them. So now it's like a whole, everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So here's the big news that everybody's probably tuning in about. So the big news is that Instagram is going to start using an algorithm. And I know some diehard Instagram users are not happy. Even other people who aren't, and they're not happy. They don't like Big Brother telling them what to do. So give us the skinny on what's going on with this algorithm thing.
So I'll go over it really quickly because I could go on for hours, but I will direct everybody to jenstrends.com. I just wrote a blog post on Monday. It's a 2,000-word blog post that lines out everything about this, why it's happening, what you can expect, and how it's going to affect you. But the long and short of it is Instagram is a business. They have to do what's best for business. And on top of it, they have grown at an unprecedented exponential rate. They have seen growth that no other platform has ever seen before. So they're having to do things at a different pace than other platforms. Twitter, you know, lasted a long time until they introduced their algorithm. Pinterest lasted a while. It's just something that eventually all the platforms have to go towards. We knew it was going to happen. We hoped it wouldn't, but we knew it was eventually going to happen. So the reason why this is happening is because it's so insanely popular now that you have so many users, and a lot of these users are casual users. They're not the diehards like me who log on 3, 4, right, 10, 20 times a day. They log on once a week or a couple times a week, maybe once a day. And so they're not seeing all of the content. They go, and they're the ones that they scroll through and they're like, you know, half-mindedly looking at it. And then after 2 minutes, they've gone back to Pinterest or Twitter or Facebook. So they're missing all of the good content. And then therefore they're like, well, if there's nothing good, why am I coming in to look at it? So of course they want to put the best content in front of them so they get more actively engaged and they stay longer. This is a rational business understanding. Does it suck for us diehards? Yeah, I went through all 5 stages of grief. I feel like I'm like in, you know, AA meeting or something over here. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. But you have to understand why they're doing it from the perspective of what's kind of, you know, best for everyone using the platform. Now, my understanding, and I could be wrong or they could change it, but my understanding is the algorithm will not hide anything. It will be kind of more like a Twitter, is my understanding, that would bump certain content to the front of your feed. Doesn't mean you're going to miss anything. If you scroll far enough down, you would still see all of the content. And I hope that this is the case. I hope I'm interpreting it properly. And I hope that this is what they're doing. Because, of course, their statement was very vague. We're all trying to, you know, make heads or tails of it. So if that's the case, then you still would see all of your content. You don't risk losing out. What does this mean for businesses and, you know, application of using Instagram for marketing purposes or things like that? First and foremost, do not start posting more content. This is, of course, everyone's fear. Oh, I'm going to post 3 times a day because no one's going to see my stuff. This is the worst thing you can do. Right. All you're going to do is create more crappy content and put, you know, just your stuff's not going to get pushed ahead any further. It's not going to make a difference. If they're not engaging with your content now, the algorithm is not going to help you to create more content. That I can promise you. So you want to create better content now. Start finding ways to get your audience to engage with you. Get them to like the content. Get them to comment. React to their comments. Respond. Ask them a question. Thank them. Get that community loyalty building. Because if they're interacting with your content, then chances are yours would be the content that gets actually bumped up in the feed. It would actually help you as a business. But you have to have a reliable, loyal, devoted audience. And if they don't like your content now, the algorithm's not going to do anything to you. I mean, it's hard.
More crap is still crap. Yeah. So this is, and they were very vague. And so I agree that it sounded like that they're not going to be taking stuff away, but they're just going to be reordering it. But they also left a big old window to do that like Facebook does in the future. And my question is, you know, you talked about having them, you know, like try to drive them to like your post or engage or whatever. You know, on Facebook, they have those certain words that you can't, they'll actually hurt you if you say, you know, like my post or whatever,
or share
that actually drives it down. And do you, I mean, that's what scares me is because, you know, Big Brother is Facebook. How long is it going to be on Instagram before stuff like that actually starts to happen? So,
and that's something that we're all, you know, we're all waiting to see. No one knows. And I mean, knowing how Instagram has rolled things out before, I trust, watch them prove me wrong. I trust they're going to do this slowly and bit by bit by bit. And it's not going to be an all of a sudden, boom, here's Facebook. So I think they're going to kind of, you know, try out some things almost kind of like in a beta fashion. Is this working? Is this reacting well? Is this getting the results we want? Can we do more of this, less of this, that sort of thing? So we're going to all kind of have to wait and see. I wish I had some magic eight ball right. to be able to look into, you know, the inner workings. And I wish people would stop asking me to fix it. I mean, you have no idea how many comments and emails I've gotten telling me to stop this from happening. And I was like, I wish I had that ball.
Sorry. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. I'll just,
let me just pick up the phone and call Instagram.
The bat phone. Yeah. So you said what we should definitely not do is post more stuff, try to beat like they do on Facebook, the edge rank or whatever they're going to call it, Instagram rank or whatever they're going to call it. So what else should we definitely not do? Do you have any other things we should not do as we're, you know, looking at this algorithm?
Yeah. I mean, you should not post crap. Post better content. Sure. I don't know how many ways, and I've been stressing this even before there was an algorithm. With over 400 million active users, and now I guarantee you they're really close to 500. It's going to come out any day, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. They're at such big numbers, and so many people are following so many accounts. Do not start posting just for the sake of posting. You have to be posting with a purpose. It has to be high quality. It has to stand out. It has to represent your brand, and it has to have a purpose. Don't post because, oh, it's Instagram, I need to post. If you skip a day, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Post for a purpose. How is this serving your strategy? How is this serving your audience? Then you're allowed to post.
So you would say instead of, you know, okay, I've got to do 3 Instagram posts this week. And before maybe I was just grabbing and throwing some word swag, quote up there. So it's better for me not to post anything and really concentrate on getting that one post that I do that week. It would be better to do that than post other crap the rest of the time.
Yeah, I mean, if the quotes work really well for you, then still incorporate them, but don't feel like, oh, now you have to post 10 of them or something like that. The biggest thing is creating the best content to serve your audience, because you want to make sure that the content that they're seeing is the content they want to actually engage with. And if it's crap content and they're not engaging with it, the algorithm's going to be like, no one's engaging with their content. We're not going to show it to them. So it's more important to create that even better, higher quality content that people will actually react to, that will either obviously help you anyway, but that the algorithm would look at and say, this person is always interacting with this account. We're going to move their stuff higher up in the feed and actually benefit from the algorithm.
Gotcha. So you and I had talked about this before, but notifications, is that something we should turn to? You know, I know a lot of Instagram people say, hey, you know, they use that as a call to action, is, hey, click, you know, turn this on. Turn on notifications. You'll never miss a post from me. Do you think that's a strategy actually with this happening?
You know, and you and I had to talk about this and I've written about it. I'm on the fence right now because for me, and I do have some accounts I get notifications for, but if I'm getting notifications for that account, chances are I really like that account, which means chances are I'm already liking all of their content. So if I'm already liking all of their content, then chances are the algorithm's going to say, well, you already like the content. We're already going to move it up in the feed. So I'm guaranteed to see it. So why do I need to get a notification to see something that's already at the top of my feed? To me, it seems a little redundant. Could I be wrong? Yes. I've already seen everyone doing the whole beg for, you know, notifications. Everyone's, right. you know, make sure you turn on notifications. Right. Well, if they aren't liking your content now, how is turning on notifications going to help you? Because they're, if they don't have them turned on now or they don't like your content, they're not going to do it now anyways. There's nothing really wrong with adding notifications. I just don't know if it's really going to help anything. And it's also worth pointing out that when you get those notifications, let's say you have, you know, 30 accounts that you get notifications for. If you get a notification that says, you know, at, you know, Jeff C right. posted, great, I can see your post. But if you posted and then Social Media Examiner posted and then if two of my friends posted, all of whom I get notifications for, I'm only going to see the most recent. So even though you're in my list of notifications, I'm still not going to see your post.
Gotcha.
And this is one of the funky things about notifications on Instagram that isn't really practical and effective. And they may be working on that. I don't know. It's the same thing with Facebook. How many notifications do we get now? And we just pretty much ignore them. I mean, group notifications, friends notifications.
So a good call to action for me would be turn off everybody's notification except for mine. And that would be the way to work on Instagram, right? I mean, because like you said, if people are following multiple people, it's only going to be the last one that comes up. And so it's kind of almost the luck of the draw a little bit. So
exactly. And unless it's one of those things where, I mean, if you check your phone regularly, where it's like, if I post something and you have my notifications turned on, then, oh, I saw Jen post, you can go take a look at it right away. Right. But how many people really right. go and look, oh, this, you know, Target posted, I'm going to go look at it right now. I mean, most people aren't going to, you know, react that way. So it's more of just kind of a reminder to be like, oh, so-and-so posted.
And I follow a lot of big people that I love to follow, but I just don't need another notification on my phone. I just don't. I mean,
I hear you.
That's my thing. And so I just, for me, the notifications would be something like if my sister, who's not very much on Instagram, would post something, then that right. might be something that I would turn it on for. But
and that's the thing, I have notifications for friends and family who, like you said, aren't on there regularly, and I don't want to miss their
right.
content.
Exactly.
So even if I don't check it immediately, at least I've seen that they posted, and I can make sure later that day or whatever to go back in and check.
Gotcha. So we're kind of getting towards the end here, but I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I read a report that video, you know, you can have a longer video now on Instagram, but it's still, I mean, people like it, but it's not, it's still, photos seem to be the thing. I mean, so, you know, for a while I was thinking, well, I'm going to do more video because it'll get more engagement. And from what I've seen, it really doesn't matter. It's about the same. Is there anything you want to talk about on video?
I know they're trying to, you know, promote video.
Right.
And that's because everyone's trying to promote video everywhere. I mean, obviously Facebook is in love with right. video. Right. I can't log on and not see 42 videos right. on my stream. So I know they're trying to promote it on Instagram, and they've recently introduced the whole, you know, number of views like you would right. see on YouTube right. or something like that. So, I know they're trying to push it, but yeah, I mean, Instagrammers are photos. I mean, people just like photos, and especially when you are a diehard and you're a scroll double tap. I mean, I don't even know it's a video because I've scrolled so fast by it, and I probably even double tapped it, but I never even watched the video because I'm just looking at whatever that still frame was.
Right.
But yeah, photos are always going to dominate on Instagram. I don't know if the video will ever pick up.
The one thing I did read somewhere, and if I'm right, you don't have sound until you tap on Instagram.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they were saying to treat any video that you do like a silent movie. And they were showing the best ones, the best ads and everything that were using video were almost a silent movie. And then when people would get interested, they'd click on it. And I thought that was a really good tip for people who want to maybe try some video, is to treat it like a silent movie.
Absolutely. And, you know, even on Facebook, because, you know, they autoplay just like they right. do on Instagram, but without audio. I never, because I'm at work most of the time, right. I never turn on the audio. So I love when they put subtitles on the video because I can actually watch the video and know what's happening without having to turn on the audio. So, yeah, if you can find ways to turn your Instagram videos into, like, a silent movie, put some sort of, you know, whether it's like a little subtitle or some sort of description or call to action, if you can put that content in that video, that would really help. In terms of what, you know, what people react to.
Yeah. A lot of other people seem to have the same thing. Jenergy says yeah. that's what she does too. So,
yeah.
So real quick, as we wrap up, I've got just a couple more questions. What would you say the best practice for a business to do on Instagram? Is it, you know, I always hear do behind the scenes photos. Is that really what you should do first of all, when you get on Instagram?
Behind the scenes are awesome. I love behind the scenes. I recommend it for all of my clients. I recommend it for anybody I talk to, because people do want to see what is going on in your business. Whether you're a big business or a tiny little brand, people want to know, you know, what your pets look like, what your family looks like, what your, you know, afternoon looks like. But that doesn't mean that that's what your feed should all be. Mm. I always, you know, tell people sometimes, especially for B2B, it's kind of hard for people to understand, you know, how to translate it. And I just always say, I'm like, imagine there's a camera crew following you around, like you live on reality TV. Mm. What would they see you do every day? And how does that relate to your business? Are you working on client projects? Are you, you know, taking meetings? Are you traveling? Are you, you know, working on a blog post? Whatever that is, find ways you do things every day in your business that you can showcase through Instagram. But the biggest thing is, understand it as a user. Why are people using it? They're not here to see you self-promoting your product. They want to see things in an organic context. So if you are writing a blog post, take a desky of your, you know, the right. blog post up on your computer screen. Find ways to showcase things in a way that people react to. I just had someone email me and they sell, like household products and stuff like that. And all their photos were like a candle, like just the candle. I'm like, put the candle on your living right. room table, right. in your bathroom, in your closet. Use something organic and you're going to get much better reaction, because that's what people are looking for on Instagram.
Yeah, I did. I actually, that makes perfect sense, because one time I was designing my blog graphic for that was going to come out, you know, that week sometime. And I just posted a picture of my computer monitor in Photoshop as I was designing it and said, this is what I'm working on. And that did really, really well. And it was very surprising. Yeah. People love to see that as it's being created kind of thing, and then showing the finished product. It was really cool.
And I like to see our workspaces. You know, we are humans behind the cameras.
That's right.
But when, you know, I always love when people show, you know, they're like, you know, here's what I staged the photo and here's the rest of the room. And it's like chaos and disaster. Yeah. But where the photo was taken, it's gorgeous and manicured.
Yeah.
That's reality. That's like people can relate to that.
Yeah. Right here, this whole thing. I have a camera circle of cleanliness.
Everything's like moved down from in front of
But it's horrible. It's just horrible if you look at anywhere else. Here's the last question I have for you. Okay, let's get real practical. Let's say a person has been doing the social media person is doing IG, Instagram for a couple months. Their account is growing. They're getting good engagement. And they're doing what you've suggested before in your post, that you use a Bitly link to track traffic and that you see what traffic you're getting from Instagram. But the boss says the traffic isn't there. Why are we wasting time and money on resources? What advice would you give them?
Well, I always relate it to, you know, how do you, and this is a question we always get, you know, no matter what platform it's, how do you, you know, measure the ROI of social media?
Right.
You know, and there's so many analogies, and I always use the analogy of the Geico commercials, because the Geico commercials are on TV. I mean, every commercial break, it seems like, right. And I see that commercial hundreds of times a week, but I still haven't converted to Geico insurance because I'm happy with my insurance. It might take 7 years until I'm ready to convert. But then when I do, I'm like, hey, Geico. So, it's there. You're building a community. You're building trust. You're building loyalty. And it's all marketing. It's putting you forefront in front of people's minds, so that when the time comes and they're ready to convert, you are the first person on their mind. Social is where everyone is hanging out. It's what they're doing. It's where they are. It's how they're communicating. And it is a modern day commercial. It's where you need to be to interact. Just because you're not getting what you might believe is that direct ROI doesn't mean that it's not working. And there's other ways to measure that ROI. Like you said, whether it's from the traffic, whether it's, and or finding other ways to use it. Ask people questions, use polls, different ways of getting people to opt in for either webinars or downloading things. Try different tactics to see if your audience on Instagram would react differently. If you're using Instagram just like you use Facebook or Twitter, you're probably not going to get the same reactions because they use Instagram differently. So you might need to mix up your strategy to get those better results that your boss would turn around and say, okay, now we know it's working.
Yeah, that my thing was is, you know, what's the ROI of a billboard? I mean, it's really hard. And Instagram's almost a billboard because you have that one little link in the bio. That's the only place. And so it's almost like the old time advertising where you would scroll by and it would, you know, you would see it and then remember it later. And so I think, like you said, you know, it's repeated, you know, having your brand being exposed. We have one question from Michael, and he goes, what do you two use to edit graphics and add text? I'll go first. And what I use Photoshop for a lot of stuff, but I also use a lot of Canva for client stuff because I can do it really, really quickly. And then I use a lot of different apps. One of my favorite apps that a lot of people don't know about is called InLight. Every image that goes up on my personal account goes through that. It's almost like Photoshop for your phone. It's just got some really cool effects. I think it's like $2.99 from the App Store, but it's awesome. Awesome. So how about you? Thanks.
So I use, people always laugh when I say this, I use PowerPoint. I am a diehard PowerPointer. I can do more in PowerPoint than most people can do in Photoshop. I love PowerPoint. I'm really quick with it, and I can create a graphic like that. So for me, it's easy, it's comfortable, and I create a lot of my content in there. Otherwise, I will do text overlay using either Text Cutie is one that I use if I want to kind of create more of a graphic, or I use PhotoGrid if I want to use one of my actual photos and put text over it. But Text Cutie does that too. Both of those are for Android. And I know the Photo Grid is available on iOS. I don't know if Text Cutie is, but those are the ones I always use.
Do you ever use like Boomerang or any of the Instagram apps that they kind of push?
You know, I really don't. And it's so funny because when they came out with that, you know, it was like, oh, everyone was pushing it. And I don't know anybody that even still really uses it.
Right.
I think it's so hard. Because Instagram, when you're in Instagram, you're using Instagram. It's even to regram something from somewhere else, which, by the way, I don't know anything, but I'm pretty sure that with all the changes, regramming will be coming to Instagram before we know it. That's my prediction. I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming. And I now that they're doing it, you know, algorithms and marketing and things, I see regramming coming because it is such a pain to go somewhere else and regram it in. Right. I know they're going to try to make things a lot more, you know, kind of fluid within the app for that reason.
Very cool. You heard it here first.
Exactly. Come back and quote me.
That's right. That's right. All right. Jen, thanks so much for your time. I know, you know, you got home from work and you got the baby to deal with, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast. But where can we find out about you and your services?
You can go to Jen's Trends, 2 N's, because I'm an 80s baby with the other 5 bazillion Jennifers that are roaming the planet. Jenstrends.com. You can find me on Instagram at Jen's_trends. I'm also on Twitter at Jen's_trends. You can email me, Jen@JensTrends.com. If you have any questions or anything like that, always feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to help.
Yep. And as always, I'd love for you guys to go over to manlypinteresttips.com and subscribe to our email community where you'll never miss one of these great guests like we had with Jen today. Because at Manly Pinterest Tips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.